The book of Luke, chapter 1. We're going to try our very best to finish the message, but we just try to mind the Lord. That's first and foremost of the utmost importance, is to mind the Lord and be obedient to the Lord. And I do believe and am consciously aware that God, I believe, has brought these messages, turning exposure into experience. I believe that God has brought that into our life, my life, and to in our church, you know, more than just for preaching and more than information. I believe God wants to really allow that principle to be true in your life. And know this, if God exposes you to it, you can experience it. Don't ever think when the preacher's preaching or you read it in the scripture, some exposure comes through the printed scripture, some comes through the preaching of the scripture, some comes through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, whatever, but God exposes you, and if He exposes you to it, you can experience it. The devil will tell you you can't, but you can. Of course, the devil will lie to you about the opposite. He'll tell you all that you're exposed to in the world, you can have it. And he'll lie to you, and he'll pump it up, and he'll paint a pretty picture and say, hey, man, you do this, and you come and follow me, and you go this direction, and man, I'll satisfy you, and I'll make you successful, and I'll make you happy, and I'll make you popular, and et cetera. All that, you know. But the truth is, neither the devil nor God can force the experience. The devil can expose you to sin. He can tempt you, just like with Eve. He can expose her to, you know, and he can allure her, he can entice her, he can all of that, but he cannot make her. The devil can make a play on you young people, he can make a play on the adults here in the church, he can make a play on your home, he can make a play for your purity and your godliness, your church faithfulness, and a number of other things you could add to the list. God can expose you to that, but it'll never be practical in your life unless you say, yes, Lord. And so it was with Mary when God allowed Gabriel to expose the big plan of God to her. Starting in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 26, you can read it when you get home, how that he exposed her to the plan of God and to the particulars of that plan. God is not just wandering around in the dark about your life. He's got details and specifics about your life, okay? And, I mean, Gabriel didn't just come to any town. He didn't just come to any street, to any person. He comes specifically to Mary. God has a specific will for your life. God has a specific and personal will for your life. Amen? There, of course, the general will of God. You know, it's the will of God that all men be saved. That's the general will of God. But boy, business picks up when that thing becomes personal. When God begins to draw you, when God begins to speak to you, and God begins to work in your heart and make that general will a personal will. But even in salvation, that exposure will never become experience until you say yes to the Lord. Amen. I mean, you think about all the exposure some of these in our church has had that's by their own testimony, lost without God. Think of the enormous amount of exposure you've had about salvation and the Bible and truth and light. And you're still not saved because of one reason and one reason only. You have yet to say yes. That's the bottom line. It's not some big thing, you know. I mean, you know, we've complicated salvation to where a lot of people don't even think they can get it. They have it, you know. I want to tell you, if you want to be saved, I mean, there's a desire in your heart to be. I don't know why I'm on this. I wasn't aiming to get. I was just going to bump it and go to something else. But listen, if there's a desire in your heart to be saved, I want to ask you one question. Who put that there? Let's eliminate two. The flesh didn't. And the devil didn't. Let's eliminate three. The devil didn't, flesh didn't, and the world didn't. That only leaves one other source. God did that. God's, listen, the devil's the one that's behind your thought life. To get saved at a later time, at another date, got plenty to do and places to go and people to see before you get saved. Devil's behind that. Devil's behind all of that. Amen. But I'll tell you, if you have a desire to be saved, a desire, my friend, to be saved and turn from sin, sick of that life, want to be saved and follow the Lord, I want to tell you, there's nothing I can show you in the scripture that's preventing you from getting saved today. Say amen right there. Well, let's move on right here. But he presented to her the will of God for her, the plan of God for her. And of course, she had questions. Verse 34, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And come into verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. So now then, Gabriel has presented to her the will of God, the details, the specifics, and it comes down to the hinge point of verse 38. Comes down to a hinge point in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, here it is, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me. I want it to happen. I allow it. I permit it. I desire it. Let it be so. What would God do in me and you and our church collectively or us individually if we all would say to God, your word, your will, your work, I want it. Whatever I have to quit, I quit it. Whatever I have to start, I start it. Whatever I have to be, I will be that. Be it unto me according to thy word. No telling. You say, preacher, can God do big things? God found a little virgin girl named Mary that was willing to say, I want the will of God for my life. And guess what was the product of that? Jesus Christ was born. Amen. Hallelujah. But we've been dealing with for several services on the subject, turning exposure into experience. Mary said, I want it. I want what I've been exposed to become my experience. And we've been dealing with several things about that, and I'm not going to go back and redeal because every time I go back and start dealing with them, even for just bringing our minds together up to point where we're at, I find myself preaching them again or wanting to preach them again. It's feeding me that much. But I've noticed in this experience, to have this experience of what you've been exposed to, there had to be moral preparation. Had to be moral preparation. Number two, there had to be mental contemplation. She had to think about it. She cast in her mind what salutation this should be. Think about where you're living. Think about the direction you're going in. Think about what God's will is for your life. And then there was a powerful illustration. Verse 36, Gabriel pointed out to her, Elizabeth, look what I've done in Elizabeth. Look what I've done for her. She was old. She was barren. She was called barren. She had that reputation. She was known for that around town. She was called barren. But yet God worked miraculously and supernaturally and sovereignly in Elizabeth and Zacharias. And the product of that was John the Baptist. And so he uses a powerful illustration, and I want to be an illustration that others can look at and say, look what God's doing in him. Look what God's doing through him. I want that in my life. Amen. You ought to be able to go to God and say, God, I see you working in them. You can work in me. Anyway, powerful illustration. Number four, a willful acceptation, as we've illustrated already and pointed out. It comes down without pressure and without coercion, that she had to say, yes, be it unto me. Yes, I want it. I allow it. You know where you are spiritually? It's where you will to be. You're on the level this morning. You're as close to God as you will to be. You know, we make the statement, you're as close to God. I'm not as close to God as I really want to be. That's a contrast. That's a contrast. That statement contrasts itself. Amen? We are as close to God as we want to be. Because we are want-driven people. If you want something, you will go after it. David said this in Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. So whatever it is you're wanting spiritually, you'll go after it. Amen. And so there's willful acceptation. You are where you will to be. What wilt thou? Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What's in your will? What's the desires of your heart? What will you permit me to do? What if Bartimaeus would have said, well, I don't know, Lord. Jesus would have went on his way. But Bartimaeus said that I may receive my sight. Jesus said, be it unto thee according to thy be it unto thee according to thy faith. Or according to thy faith, be it unto thee. There's willful acceptation. Number five, there was physical instrumentation. God shows here in this passage that He desires and has designed to use Mary's body. And we preached on that and we talked about that. That's a part of the experience. A lot of people will never experience what they've been exposed to. Come on now. Because they will not present their bodies, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You say, well, God's only concerned about the spirit. Show me that in the Bible. And I'll show you, my friend, verses that would show that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. So God, there's physical instrumentation. The devil wants to use your body, and God wants to use your body, and it is whoever you yield it to will gain ground. Amen. Romans 6 talks about not yielding your members, yielding your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Amen. Well, glory to God. I need to get off that or I'll end up preaching that again. Physical instrumentation. And then we talked about number six, there was the vocal declaration. God began to expose her to this. And you know what? One of the first things happened after she said, Lord, I want it, I will it, I desire it, allow it, amen. You know what the first thing happened was? She rises up and heads to the hill country of Judah to tell Elizabeth. In other words, when you start, my friend, being exposed to what God's plan is for your life and you start submitting to it, I'll tell you, it'll come out your mouth. You'll want to testify. You'll want to tell it. You'll want to witness. It. We're being plagued today with silent Christianity. And it is a plague, friend. Silent Christianity. Secret Christianity. People claim to be saved and nobody around them ever hears it out of their mouth. And nobody around them ever sees anything. Something's wrong scripturally with that. I'm going to tell you, there is vocal declaration. Amen. I've never met anyone that really had the goods that didn't want to tell it. Amen. If the only time you told it is the day you claim to have got it, that's the only time you told it. You better back up and punt because you didn't get much. Amen. 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 Well, there's vocal declaration. And then, I believe last time we were together and I preached out of this, we talked about there was a supernatural activation. Boy, this point right here got big to me and I hope it did to you. Listen, what I'm preaching this morning, what I've been preaching, will help you. It'll help every area of your life. You show me anywhere there's defeat, I'll show you where there's a failure to experience what you've been exposed to. Show me where there's depression, the same. You're not experiencing what you've been exposed to. Show me, my friend, young people that's going astray, homes that are on the rock. Show me any of that you want to put into that equation. And it all boils down to this. People individually or together are failing to experience what you've been exposed to. Put into practice what you've been preached. Put into practice what is printed in the scripture. Amen. Walk in the light, friend. And if you're walking in the light, darkness don't have a chance. Darkness can't overcome light. Light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. As long as you're walking in the light of God's Word, you have the victory. You are overcomers. Spiritual, supernatural activation. Elizabeth told her in verse 45, blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be, listen, come on, a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. If the Lord tells you, He can do it. Don't ever doubt what the Lord tells you. Don't ever doubt the promises of God. If He said it, He backs it up. Amen. He can bring it to pass. You say, but preacher, it's big. It looks impossible. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. If we're not where we need to be this morning, it's because we have not allowed God to work in us and take us to another level. Amen. There shall be a performance. You know what the definition of that word performance is? Everybody paying attention this morning? The preacher's trying to help you. You know what the definition of that word performance means? Fulfillment. God is able to fulfill. You know what another definition is? Perfecting. God is able to perfect that which concerns you. Amen. It means also, the word performance means to accomplish. Oh, yes, friend. The devil for sure is wanting to accomplish things in your life, and he will if you'll let him. But God wanting to accomplish things in your life much greater, much better, and he will if you'll let him. Oh, yes. I like this. Listen to this right here. This is good. In fact, in Luke chapter number 2, in Luke chapter 2, verse number 6, guess what the word says? And so it was that while they were there, the days, here comes the same word, were accomplished. The same word as performance translated in 2:6 as accomplished. Boy, wouldn't that be good to face God one day with accomplished life? A life that accomplishes something. Oh, what, don't you want that? I mean, don't you? Is there not a desire and a drive in your heart as young ladies and young men to want to accomplish something for God? Or let me say it a different way. To allow God to accomplish something in you and through you. It's not me trying to accomplish something for Him. It's Him trying to accomplish something for me and in me and through me. Oh, yes. There is a divine, there is a supernatural activation. And I like this right here. And I'm going to hit that. I know I done preached on it, but I didn't give you this the other day. That word performance is in the passive voice. You say, well, whoopee-doo. That, oh, there's some meat right there if you listen. The passive voice means, remember now, Elizabeth said to Mary, there'll be a performance of those things which were told you from the Lord. And it's in the passive voice, meaning the object is the recipient of the action. Said, that simply means, Mary, you're not to do the performing. You're going to be the recipient of it. In other words, it's going to be done to you. In fact, she even testified of her own mouth in verse 49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm simply stating the fact that whatever it is God is exposing you to, whether it's salvation or sanctification or service or whatever it is, friend, you're to take note and courage in this right here that you are the recipient of the action. It's what God's wanting to do to you. It's not what you do for Him. It's what He's wanting to do to you and do for you and do through you. So there is a supernatural activation. Let's move on and deal with the next point. This is where we're at, and I spent all our time in introductions. Apologize. But we've got several new folk maybe are not with us on where we're at, so we needed to do that. Listen, here's our next one. Verse 46. The exposure becomes experience when there is personal magnification. Oh, boy. Look at verse 46. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. She said, my soul, not our soul, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I like that word magnify. I like that word magnify. You listening? That word magnify means to enlarge. Mary said, I want to enlarge Jesus. In other words, I want Him to get big in me. Remember me preaching that series of messages here on how to be great with God? Remember out of Luke's gospel when Mary was, the Bible said when Mary was great with child? See, how great you are to the world is how big the world is to you. But how great you are to God is how big Jesus is in you. God used the word great to describe her condition being with Jesus being big inside her. She's great with child. How many people today saved really want to be great Christians for the Lord? Really want to be leave a great mark for the Lord and do something for the Lord. There is personal magnification. It means to enlarge. Listen to this right here. To make conspicuous. That word conspicuous simply means to make, to be easily seen. To be easily seen, to have the attention, to be obvious, to be noticeable, to be visible. Feel like I'm losing some of you. Some of you's letting your mind wander. You better stay with me. Are you listening? Talking about magnification means to make conspicuous, which means to make obvious, visible, to have the attention, amen, to make easily seen. What's the devil in? What is his agenda? To hide Jesus. That's his agenda, is to make him small and to hide him in your life. And hey, come on, that's what worldliness does, hides Jesus. That's what carnality does, is hide Jesus. You say, well, it's just little, you know, it's just little desires and it's just little, you know, this and that. Oh no, the devil's got an agenda behind attempting you to be worldly and sinful and carnal and fleshly. He's got an agenda, and it's not to you directly, it's to Jesus. He's wanting to hide him. Because Jesus will not be seen in a worldly life. Jesus will not be made conspicuous, obvious, visible, easily seen through a carnal, fleshly, selfish life. Amen. Amen. I know it's tight right there. I know it. Your flesh don't like it. Amen. Especially when you can turn the tube on and see these big mega churches that never preach against nothing, that's got everything in the book inside their church. My friend, and you'll think preaching like Preacher Ackley's preaching is out of date. Well, you call it whatever you will and whatever you want. I've been preaching soon. February 2nd will be 30 years. I don't intend on changing. Because I know behind worldly living, there is an agenda hatched out of the bowels of hell. And that is to attack Jesus. To hide Him. To make Him to where He is not visible. Nobody, listen, come here. Let me tell you how important it is. Nobody will ever get saved till they see Jesus. And I'm not talking about Him walking down through Main Street in Rogersville bodily. I'm talking about Him being seen in you. Amen? It's what Peter was talking about when he was dealing with that, the woman, the wife that had the lost husband, the saved wife that had the lost husband in Peter's, First Peter talks about that. And you know why he was talking about it? He talked to her about how she should dress and all of that. You know why she was doing that? He was doing that. God was telling her, you want to win your husband, you can win him without the word. Here, by your chaste conversation, he said. Let your lost husband behold the purity and the godliness and the holiness in you, and let it be the hidden man of the heart that is seen. You want to win people to Jesus? You will live right in front of them. You'll want to magnify Jesus in their life. I'll tell you what, listen, come on now. I'm going to say I'm not going to get done this morning. Lord help me. I wanted to get done this morning. Worldliness magnifies you. A person that's only interested in being worldly and world-like and fleshly and all of that, you know what they're really after? They're wanting to be the one that is noticed. What is the one thing that most young people aspire to have? Popularity. Popularity comes through recognition. In other words, you have been seen. How many in this building today, don't raise your hands, would love to get on Star Search or whatever that is? The devil will tell you as long as you're hid out in the hills of Hawkins County, nobody will ever know you. He knows you got to get seen before you can be successful in the world's eyes. Worldliness and flesh living and sinful living is all about you and not about Jesus. And you might as well say amen right there, because I've been saved long enough to know that that's true in my life. Amen. Amen. Come on now. We're going to dig this one out. I didn't know there was going to be a stump there, but there are. That magnify. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Magnify means to enlarge. It means to make conspicuous. Here it is. Come on now. Means to praise. My soul doth praise the Lord. My soul. You know what magnifying the Lord does? It brings attention to Him. And when people get attention to Him and they see Him, He's visible to them. I want to tell you, He's big to them. They're going to praise Him. Nobody will ever praise a little Jesus. That's why our churches are D-E-A-D, dead, is because in most people's lives is a little Jesus. Oh, we done hooked in now. I know we're not getting done today. That's right. A little Jesus. You'll never get excited about what's little in your life. You get excited about what's big in your life. And there's a battle going on, Brother Silas, in all of our lives this morning over what's going to be big or who's going to be big. Am I right on that? You know that's right. Amen? When I'm defeated and I'm discouraged, it's because something else has got big in me other than Jesus. Woo! Hey man, this crowd that my friend wants to go jump off a bridge and end their life and all that, that's not because of a big Jesus. That's because of a big problem. Amen. The devil will want to magnify your circumstance, whereas the Spirit of God wants to magnify Christ. I want to ask you, what's got your attention this morning? Your circumstance or Christ? Are you listening? My soul doth magnify the Lord. Means to praise. Listen to this. The definition of that word magnify means to show to be great. Boy, don't you think that's what the Father wants about His Son? Wants Him seen to be great, shown to be great. I think that's a clear example of, I just thought of it, what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, Brother Brian. Now, on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know who appeared there? You know who appeared up there with Peter, James, and John and Jesus? You know who appeared up there? Moses and Elijah. Two of the greatest Bible characters of all time appeared up on that mountain. And can you imagine what Peter and James and John thought about when they seen, wow, there is Moses, the lawgiver. Wrote the first five books of the Bible. Led 2.5 million people out of Egypt. And man, my, there's Moses. And then John said, well, look there, there's Elijah. And talk maybe about some of the miracles that Elijah did. And God seen the attention starting to go to Moses and Elijah and off of Jesus. And God let a cloud come in on the hilltop that hid Moses and hid Elijah. But Jesus was there in glow and glory. And the Father spoke from heaven with a loud voice, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. God wants Jesus to be revealed, my friend, to be big in you. Is Jesus big in you? Are you magnifying Him today? God help us. I might as well just deal with this while we're here. Help us, Jesus. Turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, this is the first time I got interested. What was the first time this word magnify, or the word translated magnify, where is it at and what does it show to be the first time usage? Matthew 23 and verse number 5, this is where the first time that it was used. Everybody there say amen. And this is talking about the Pharisees. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. Here's the word. They make broad their phylacteries, and here it is again, and enlarge the borders of their garments. The phylacteries were four pieces of parchment that they wore around their neck that had pieces of scripture, sentences of scripture out of Exodus and Deuteronomy in them. And they were in little leather pouches made out of animal skin. And they made them bigger so that when they walked through, it stated in that verse that they may be seen of men. That's the emphasis here, making the parallel between the two scriptures, that they may be seen of men. Making their phylacteries big so they could appear, so people catch their eye. They said, wow, look. And the borders of their garments, they made them broader so that when they walked through, it would catch their eye. Phariseeism is an eye-catching disease. Say amen, we're in the house, all right. Phariseeism is a eye-catching problem. Doing certain things, not for Jesus or His glory, but for to be seen of men. Are you listening? So the word, it made broad their borders. They magnified their borders. Why? So that the part they magnified would catch the eye of men. Now do you see the parallel between the usage in Matthew 23 and what Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. That is, I want Him enlarged. I want Him to get bigger so that He will catch the eye of man. Do you know what liberal preaching says? Oh, God looks on the heart. I've heard that and makes me want to puke. God looks on the heart, preacher, so it don't matter about the physical and it don't matter about the outward. Show me that in the Scriptures. Show that to me in the Scriptures, thou most holy one. No, you'll go to Peter, you'll go to 1 Samuel, where when the king was going to be selected, and Samuel was looking at Eliab and Shammah and some of those big, tall, muscular sons of Jesse, and God never said about none of them, that's him, that'll be the next king of Israel. No, went through seven of them, and Samuel said, is this all your sons? And he said, no, there's one little old boy down there watching sheep named David. Said, go get him, and here he walks in about 13, 14 years old, and God said, that's him, amen. Samuel was looking at biceps and triceps and height and stature and their fighting record and all of that, but God said, down there's a little scrawny stripling of a boy named David who's got a heart for God. And he's got courage and faith, and he's the one that I want. That's the context of that verse. And they'll use that verse to say that God don't care about the outward. But that's not it. And if anything, that verse further supports what I'm preaching. God looks on the heart. But catch this and don't forget it. Man looks on the outward. Man can't see your heart. Man cannot see your faith in and of and by itself. There's got to be something, a means of magnifying that, that exposes the inside to the outside. If I preach the message that a lot of preachers are preaching today, basically summarize saying, get saved, you can go to heaven and it don't matter how you live or look or nothing else. We couldn't put a building big enough on this property to contain the people. But I'm not in it for popularity, and I'm not in it, to build a kingdom on the side of the road. I'm interested in God working in individuals, young and old, male and female, members and visitors, saved and sinners. I'm looking for God to work in people, my friend, and them have a relationship with Jesus and serve God. That's what I'm after, Brother Darrell. And I'm just going to be honest with you. There's not too many really interested in that. Amen. Come on now. And I wonder even how many of our church really, really down in your heart is interested in that. Say amen right there. So the concept behind magnify is the idea of making it bigger, making it large, to enlarge, to make conspicuous, easy to see, visible, evident, obvious, noticeable. What would hurt for us to live a life that would show Jesus to the world? What would be wrong with that? Go read through the church epistles, friend. See how many verses that actually deal with salvation. They're there. But then compare that to how many verses deal with how you're supposed to live after you get saved, and you will find chapters. Chapters and chapters and chapters and chapters. Why? God is not just interested in your soul. He's interested in your spirituality. He is the authority on telling us how to live. Yes, sir, it is God's will, God's word that deals with put away evil speaking. It is God's will that deals with lust and envy and anger and backbiting and gossip and all that. Yes. That's to God's people. God is saying, if you're saved, I want your life to be so that it would present Jesus to the world. Are you listening? Let me give you this and I'll be nearly done. I need to end this on a positive note, surely. But I'm not through with magnification yet. You know there's two kinds of magnification? There's telescopic and microscopic. If Mary probably she didn't know what a telescope was, and I'm sure she didn't know what a microscope was, but the magnification principle is there. A telescope does what? Makes distant things close. And to a lot of people, Jesus is nothing but a distant Bible figure of history. And that Jesus, that's only a historical Jesus, will never save anybody. Are you listening? Your false religions, they don't deny that Jesus lived, Jesus existed. Let me put it correctly, a Jesus lived, not the Jesus. You say, well, preacher, they stood at my door the other day and they told me about Jesus. The Jesus there in their religion, the JWs and Mormons and all that, the Jesus in their religion is not the Jesus in the Bible. So don't just take that hook, line, and sinker right off the front. Amen? Jesus of the Bible wasn't created. He was the Creator. John 1:3, and the Creator, the Jesus of Mormonism was created. Well, I don't want to get on that. Amen. But listen, magnification, there's telescopic. There it is. Bring them distant. God wants to use you. God wants to use you to bring Jesus from being distant to those that live with you and work around you and you go to school with. God wants to use you. Come on, listen now. God is wanting to use you to bring Jesus close. Amen. Something close is a lot easier seen than something distant. Here's another, the microscopic. What does a microscope do? Make small things big. Marriage, you didn't know about those two objects, I know, but it's still there. When she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, I want to bring distant things close and I want to make small things big. And to Jesus, and to a lot of people, Jesus is real small. You know why? He occupies just a small part of your time. You know how I know He's small to a lot of people? He only has just a little bit of your attention. He only has just a few thoughts through the week. He's small to a lot of people in that He only hears maybe a few words from you through the week. He's small to you because you only read a few words from His Word through the week. He's small to you, my friend, when you give Him small talk. Oh, yes. My soul doth magnify the Lord. I want to be a telescope that people... And you know, watch this. Oh, I just seen this. A telescope, Brother Brian, and a microscope, though the ability is there and the making is there to do what I just preached. This is good right here. Neither one, the telescope nor the microscope, is worth a dime until somebody puts that right there and looks in it. Sitting on the shelf, sitting in the yard or wherever, it's useless. It becomes beneficial when somebody uses that as an instrument to look through. God wants to use you in the area of magnification so people can look through. They're not seeing you. Listen, I've never been around a telescope and very few microscopes. But I've never, even in biology class, we do the microscope thing, you know. I never have seen anybody to remember look through that microscope and say, "Whoa, what a microscope! Wow, man, this is a wonderful microscope." No attention to the microscope. They're not looking at the microscope. They're looking through the microscope. You live the life God wants you to live as believers. Are y'all listening? There's a whole lot of talking going on this morning. The whole lot of talking going on. And that's rude. That's rude. Me trying to preach God's Word and deal with something that the very ones doing the talking needs. And if you want to know who they are, I can point them out. Are you listening? I'm not afraid to do that. Are you listening? You think I don't notice? I notice, and it's distracting. See, I lost that train of thought right there on account of you. All right. That's right, shame on you. But God wants to use you so people can look through your life, not look at your life, not talk about what a great person you are and magnify you, but look through your life. Your life is nothing more than a lens people can look through to see the object desired. All right. Well, amen. I thought we was going to end on a positive note, but I don't know if we will or not. Look at this. Philippians 1 and verse 20. Let me read this to you. Philippians 1 verse 20. Listen, you wonder why Paul was such a Christian that he was. Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered why Paul was, in my opinion, probably outside of John the Baptist and Jesus, the greatest ever, probably. I believe Philippians 1:20-21 shows us. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That, I believe, summarizes why Paul was the great Christian that he was. Psalms 34 and 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. So I didn't get but just the one dealt with this morning. Personal magnification. What would happen? I was thought about going to the next one, but I don't think we're going to. What would happen if people would take what I preached this morning? If people take what I preached this morning, and you know it's Scripture. Anybody with any Bible sense knows that what I preached this morning is Scripture. But why? In other words, you're saying, preacher, that's exposure. I've exposed you once again to some more of the Bible truths in relation to this of how we are to live practically. And why? It's all about Jesus being revealed and enlarged through our life. Or how many people, if they'd say, Lord, be it unto me. Be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, I want that. I want that. Lord, I'm not interested in being seen. I'm not interested in being popular. I want you to be seen. I want you to be seen. Are you listening? Let's all stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Piano's coming. Heavenly Father, we bow in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. And Lord, I ask you this morning to help us to stay focused. Help us, Lord, to know how important it is for Jesus to be magnified, how important it was for Jesus to be magnified in our bodies, in our life, to be enlarged, to be made visible, conspicuous, easily seen. Lord, our Father, help us to magnify Jesus. Lord, Father, help us to be willing to be the lens that people can look through and see Jesus. Jesus, who is distant and small to a lot of people, but through magnification, the distant can become close and the small can become big. We pray, Lord, that you will take the message, God, in our heart. And you know my heart this morning. When I came, I had every intention of trying to finish the entire message this morning. But Lord, it just seemingly we got hooked up on this verse, on this thought, on this subject, and we just, Lord, you just kept feeding us with it. And Lord, it is the need. It's not just information. It's the need right here. Rogersville Baptist Temple, there's homes in this church that needs what I preach this morning. There's individuals. There's young ladies in this service this morning. Young boys in the service, young men, young ladies need this morning. They need to get in this altar and say, God, I'm tired of living my life after the world and the flesh and the devil so that people can see me and notice me and that I'd be popular and accepted and approved. Lord, I want to be a lens of magnification. I want to be a lens of magnification so that you could just use me for people to look through and see Jesus. See Him close and see Him big. Nobody will ever get saved till they see the Lord. Nobody will ever get saved till they see Christ in Christians. Father, drive home the message, the truth. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.